Welcome back to the Weekly Manga Podcast. This is the podcast where we talk about all of your favorite ongoing Japanese manga. This week, one of the best-written video games of last year comes out with a manga adaptation. Metaphor ReFantazio hits Manga Plus. We're also going to talk about a cute monster dating manga called Sirens Won't Sing for You, since it's hitting its stride pretty early with Chapter 2. And Ichi the Witch shows us the true power and flair of Descross. All that manga news and more coming right up. Hello again, my name is Bruce. I am the proprietor of the White Gray Black YouTube channel. This week, I am joined again by my constant co-host, Gautam.
Hello, hello.
Special shout out and thanks to our Patreon subscribers, Yaji Black. If you want to have your name read at the top of the episode, see some bonus content, and get access to a members-only chat, check out patreon.com/WGBmanga. It's only $3 to start. Gautam, let's talk about our first point of discussion here. I think we'll come back. The Metaphor ReFantazio manga adaptation. You've played this game to completion, right? You've beaten it.
Yeah.
I've played 25 hours, which is only like the opening dungeon and one more dungeon, because this game is very long and slow.
It's a very, very long game. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm familiar enough with it. I'm familiar enough with the parts of the story that the manga is covering. Tell me about the game and the game's story and how much you liked that.
Yeah, I thought it was maybe, like, this is the same people who made all the Persona games. I think this is probably one of their more mature and stronger stories. The theme is effectively fantasy racism, which is real life racism, is the theme.
Yeah.
And they deliver upon it in a surprisingly nuanced and interesting way. I think it's just all around a solid game with an entertaining story.
Yeah,
it takes its time to get there, but it gets there.
Yeah, the parts that I've consumed, I would say, is pretty similar. Like, this is, it looks like anime, but it presents itself a lot more mature. It's kind of much more adult than the Persona games. They're usually about high school kids. Yeah, and I agree that definitely it's sort of themes and even the way that the first, you know, two hours of the game maybe are like pretty intense and with like murder, death, and wild looking stuff. I definitely think
some
Metaphor
Game of Thrones vibes.
Yeah, exactly. At the beginning. So let's talk about this first chapter of the manga and why it's significantly worse than the game. I guess
it was just like really not good.
They changed a lot, and every change was bad, is what I would basically say. They took kind of this extremely mature story, which starts out in the game of being kind of, you know, really intense, political unrest, you know, murder of a king, and trying, you know, attempted murder of his son years and years ago, and all this stuff, and
condensed
something,
it. Yeah, speed ran it
and changed it and made it bad. Here's the main thing. I think it can all kind of be summed up if we talk about this character on screen right now, whose name is Galica. Galica,
yeah.
In the game, when I saw it, I was like, oh yeah, it's the friendly sidekick character. You know, I've seen the fucking cat from Persona 5, I don't even remember his name, and the dog from Persona 3, I think it is, or 4, I don't remember, but I've seen them. They're the cutesy side characters. Like, they have a story, but they're usually more about, like, telling you what to do and kind of using their annoying voice to, you know, do exposition and stuff. So the first time I saw Galica, I was like, I know what that character's going to be. I can hear her in my head. She's annoying and I hate her already. And then I played a couple hours of the game and I'm like, wait, she's cool. She does not have an annoying voice. She's much more of just an adult, you know, a normal adult, normal character, but she's a small fairy. She's not really the annoying sidekick character that I thought she was going to be. And then in the manga, she is. Instead, they change her into this, like, weird, infantile, like, I don't know. It's just, like, bad.
It's
like,
it's interesting that you mentioned she is infantile in the manga when she is, like, kind of, she has more of a head on her shoulders in the game. Like, by a large
margin. To put it
kindly,
yeah.
Yeah. I do love the art. I think
the art is great.
Is
yeah, I mean,
really good.
There's some of the spreads we get that maybe I grabbed here. Like, yeah, the spreads all look cool. Yeah, the art's great. But also, like, it takes what is generally presented to be like a really pretty serious story. Now, there's moments of levity in the game, but a really pretty serious story. And like the opening of the game is similar to this, right? He's like riding on a cart and there's some ruffians on the cart and they kind of pull everybody out and something happens. He gets knocked off a cliff. But like in this version, instead of it being kind of like a serious encounter and he gets, you know, potentially killed and somebody defends him, it's like, wow, like look at this goofy, like the best descriptor I think I can apply to this is that it feels like a Saturday morning cartoon adaptation of like Game of Thrones, of like an adult thing where it's like, oh, we got to lighten the mood up a little bit. We got to lighten it up and make it goofy and weird. And it just like, I don't know.
It's baffling because it's like, I don't know how they can cover their themes of like racism, equality, all that stuff with this.
Yeah. With all Saturday this like cartoon. Goofy stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So far it doesn't work.
I did not like this first chapter.
Could you go back a page?
Yep.
Essentially the game begins with this guy Luis killing the old king of the kingdom. This is abridged for the manga, which is not a good choice because it's like a very compelling part of the game. It starts off all of the events of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So it really deserves the pages, but it's like abridged by this narrator character, who's a character in the game, don't get me wrong, but it really deserved its own little scene instead of just like the three panels we got of it happening.
Well, and I think that, and this might even be one, I think this is a zoom in of the same panel here, maybe, right? Yeah, maybe not. I don't know. It could be a redraw. But either way, yeah. So by the time we get to the end of this chapter, we've covered how many like hours of the game is this? Like 6 hours of the game, maybe? Like everything but the final dungeon? Or does it skip through the dungeon? I don't remember now.
It's something like that. A few notable changes is that they, the main character
is like weird.
You can pick dialogue options, right?
Yeah.
And it's like they picked all of the apathetic.
Sassy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The sassy. It's totally inconsistent with how he behaves because it's like sometimes he's sassy, but sometimes he's like, I believe in the good in people and the world. And it's like, what? Like you were just telling Galica to shut the fuck up a second ago. Like, anyway, they replace, another character called Hulkenberg with Stroll in this storyline.
Yeah.
I don't think that's like he's the first real party member you get. So I don't hate that replacement.
It's also weird that I wonder, though, because they've skipped so much stuff like originally in the game, like this is spoilers for like the demo of the game that you can play, which is like 8 to 10 hours long, maybe. Like originally, like Hulkenberg saves him in the start and then Stroll and him go off and like join the army and do all this weird stuff. And that's kind of where things kick off. And they just like skip basically all of that. Like, so
because they wanted to get straight to the king's choice and the assassination, which
I don't think they needed to do. Yeah. I mean,
they didn't. It's too soon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like them joining the army and like having a bond and having each other's backs is why they kind of worked together in the first place, mm-hmm. and it set up and led to the assassination perfectly.
Yeah, and they also both, they both, like, know about the big guy who, like, betrays them. They're, like, Captain Betrays Him or whatever. Like, betrays their whole team to, like, a human, which is, like, what a bad guy is called in this thing. And that's, like, a thing that they kind of share. And it, for sure, it does. And then, like, isn't all this Maria stuff new? I didn't think she got kidnapped game.
She didn't. Like, she wasn't even introduced until they agreed to the assassination and they went back to their home base. But
I don't know. Like, anyway,
Maria was introduced here. Basically, this I forgot what the race is. Papyrus. This cat dude kidnapped her and drove away as they were like talking to Maria, which is the funny part.
Yeah, I don't think I grabbed that one, but it's like,
yeah. And then Stroll is suddenly he has a carriage and is like chasing after him. I don't know how he just does. The MC joins along and essentially they catch the kidnapper and they're about to kill him. And Maria's like, or arrest him. And Maria's like, don't arrest him, please. He isn't a bad guy. He said he would return me later.
It's like, you're six. You're six, Maria. Like, you don't know.
And he's like, yeah, you don't freaking know Maria. But also like afterwards, the guy is like, yeah, I'm really sorry I did that. I noticed she was a mixed race girl and I knew nobody would care about her, so I kidnapped her.
Wow, you sound like an upstanding citizen. Yeah.
And he's like, but I'm really broke and stuff, and that's why I did it, and I'm really desperate. And then Stroll is like, okay, got it. Here's all of my money. And gives him all of his money.
It's like, and yeah.
It's like, this guy was like a kidnapper and like potentially like a slaver. You're like, you don't know. Like, despite Maria's plea not to arrest this man, of course. And you just gave him all your money. Like, you rewarded him for doing a kidnap. Okay. Yeah. It's like, Stroll as a character is like this nobleman who believes in helping the common man. But he was like an idealist in the game. But he wasn't like a stupid person.
No.
Like he was in this chapter.
Yeah, well, and even like a lot of what we're complaining about is a comparison to the game. But like, I think even if you remove the like comparison, I think this chapter just like moves really fast. I think the main character has just massively wild character like swings and like how he acts. Like,
yeah,
like the first thing he does is he like tells Galica to shut up. And I was just like, well, that's not
like, what's the need?
Like, the first thing we're getting is the main character is a mean dude to his like cute little pixie like helper. And then he's like, and then he's goofy. And then he's like sassy. He's like, oh, I've got this book, so I don't care about anything else. It's like, I don't know. It just was insane.
And the funny part is like in the game is like, yeah, he values the book, but that doesn't mean he doesn't care about it. Like, the book is inspiration for how he wants the world to be, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. This dialogue makes no sense.
It makes no sense, yeah. And you know, there's cool art stuff here.
It's awesome art. It's awesome art. I like it.
Yeah, but also, like, Grias is maybe, like, the biggest...
It makes no sense.
Like, so this is a character who, in the game, you meet him and you spend like probably hour and a half, 2 hours with him. And then like maybe there's 3 or 4 more hours after that where you like get to know him, get to know what's happened. He's like part of your team and the whole thing. In this one, you literally meet the guy. He goes, oh my, thank you for saving a girl who I know. And then he says, hey, okay, now let's assassinate Luis. And you're like, what the fuck out of nowhere? Like, who is this guy?
They experience like no actual friction getting to Grias.
No,
it's like they have to meet in like this off road and take the back route into the city in order to even
and like camp for a day this, to like walk. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, yeah,
like to get this in motion. And then Stroll
Saturday like morning cartoon shit, like
like Stroll joining this assassination attempt made it was like even a tough sell in the game, but it made sense because of like the captain being like a bad guy and them fighting this human together. It's like, it was all like set up. But here he's just like, well, I saved Maria and I think you guys are cool, so let's kill this guy. Let's kill this fucker.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know. And it's like, again, art's good. Louis is here. I don't know. It just like nothing makes sense. And we get the cool reveal, like you've probably seen, of the old king has some kind of old magic that he shows up and, you know.
And I don't know anything about the king. We barely know he died.
Yeah, well, and okay, I'm trying to remember. In the game, does this happen after the first dungeon where the head shows up or before? I feel like it was after, but I don't actually remember now that I think about it.
It was before. It was before because the first dungeon has the necromancer guy.
That's right, yeah. But he doesn't do the whole, like, democracy. We will now democracy the world.
He might have, but they described the king's magic and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
They actually showed us like the consequences of the king dying and the political what's happened.
But either way, like, I mean, this is like
here's just a random shit that's happening. Everyone's like, oh, the moon from Majora's Mask is happening. It's like, I wouldn't be able to follow this plot in a logical sense if I had not played the game.
And no, me either. And it's like, you know, it's like 40 something pages long, you know, like most kind of online chapter ones. And this is like 5.5 hours of a 70-hour game. So, I mean, it's like a large chunk of the game that they like have rushed through and skipped and had and changed, literally changed the way every character is introduced and the way they act. And I don't know. This is This is always kind of the problem with adaptations, or I guess like the difficulty with adaptations is if you piss off the people who are fans of the original, they're gonna yell from high heavens that this is bad and stupid. And that's why like trying to appeal to the masses with an adaptation often falls really flat, because if you don't appeal to the people who are already fans of the base thing, those are the people who are going to yell about it. And like, I'm a big fan of this game. I need to get back and play more of it, but like, I thought it was great. And I think this is bad because
the thing like is, so the crazy part is like, it's not only not appealing to the people who played the game, but it's like, I don't think this is like a cohesive piece of work for anyone who's just getting into it.
Yeah, it would be difficult, I think. Yeah,
it's just like hitting check marks or something.
I don't know. Yeah,
Luis hasn't said a word. We don't know anything about the guy or why he needs to die, aside from knowing he killed a king. Like, yeah, we had that set up before.
I wonder. So,
yeah, it's just random shit happening.
I wonder if they gave an order for this adaptation to only be like, let's say they said like, hey, we're going to give you 5 volumes to adapt the entirety of Metaphor or something like that. Right. And they're like, oh shit. Okay. I have an extremely, you know, I can't do everything. I have to shrink the timelines down. Yeah.
It's like a 90 hour game.
Just yeah. I mean, it's like, point. Well, yeah. So I wonder, I feel like I'll read maybe 2 or 3 more chapters of this. I'm interested to see what it's like when they do, like when you're in a dungeon, are they, like, what are they doing? Are they going to tell the side stories that you can do kind of between dungeons? Or is it all just going to be the main story quest? Or I don't know. I mean, it definitely turned off initially, but
they like speedrun all this stuff, but they have like 1 full volume of the characters just hitting dogs in that dungeon to get their mana back.
Yeah,
it's just like they show the grinding.
It's the the volume extras. It's just like, wait, 7 pages of dogs dying.
Yeah, just drawn in different ways, like Haruhi Suzumiya season 2.
There you go. Yeah,
I like, love that.
Was that the Crazy 8 Days of Summer or something? Oh
yeah, the Endless 8.
Endless 8. There you go.
Yeah.
So as fans and consumers of the game, I think this is bad. I think maybe if you read this and you haven't. And you liked it and you haven't played the game, I would say go play the game because it's good, just a better version of this. I think the thing that really got me was just like the main character is all over the place as
he's
a character.
All over the place. He is. And he's and like a real prick is the annoying part.
He's like a he's prick, like, and also like he's a prick. I don't know. He just comes off as like a jerk. But he's good and he saves people and is strong. And it's like, In the game, he's very much just kind of like a weak idealist at the very start. So
yeah, exactly. He's a weak idealist at the start, and here he's just like an apathetic asshole for some reason.
Yeah. So I don't know. I pass on this if you've already played the game. I think there's no reason. Yeah. Like, watch out for the spreads to appear on social media and have fun enjoying those, I guess. But yeah, so I don't know. It's a weird one because it seems like such an easy thing to take a game full of great writing and just draw manga pictures and paste that writing into the bubbles, right? Like, I hate to say it like that, but like, it should be that easy. It really should.
I feel like you also have like the benefit of taking it slower since people already have an understanding that the source material is good, you know?
So and long,
you
can, yeah.
Yeah. You can maybe take your time to get to this particular point.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like I thought when this was getting adapted, I was like, ooh, okay. Like I bet the very first chapter gets you to like the human, like the first human reveal would be where I probably would have like ended the first major chapter, right? Like they get to the top of the tower, like Strahl and then the main character. And then it's like, oh shit, what is that? That's a human, end of chapter. And instead we've gone like 4 hours past that in the game. We haven't even done that part. We skipped it entirely.
They don't have archetypes yet.
No, so. And it's so like, I guess they're going to awaken them at the same time, or I don't know. It's just weird. Know. Like all the changes are strange. The more we talk about it now, it really strikes me as they were probably given you have this many chapters, try to fit it all in there. And they had to make massive changes because of that. Cause I can't imagine why anyone would make like the other thing that's weird is that technically Atlas is credited as like the writer, right? Or his original work, but like, is Yoichi Amano writing this also? Like, it doesn't have a writer. It has art by Yoichi Amano and original work Atlas. So, like, is this the Atlas writers actually making these changes? I don't know.
I have no clue. I Well, the art is amazing, so I hope
it's great. Yeah, it's good.
Gets more work after this, but because it's like charming.
It's really good art and really dynamic. Yeah. And like, and even though I think the facial expressions are like kind of Saturday morning cartoon, like they're really good. Like it's just not what metaphor should be.
I think Galica also looks like very cute, but it's not Galica from the game.
Yeah. She's not the cutesy sidekick character that everyone thought she was going to be. She's just not like, this is not, Elga would never do this in the game.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think, like, I'm so mad. Like, yeah, the facial expressions feel off, but it's not a knock against how good the actual art is. So, I mean, this spread at the end in general looks great. So,
yeah, yeah, cool. It's a good looking chapter one. It's just a bad chapter one.
Yeah. Well, and I wonder, you know, if they, when they do maybe link up with the main plot, you know, maybe they need to rush through the setup and then it'll slow down for the rest of it. I don't know. So maybe it finds its footing in a couple of chapters. Like I said, I might check out two or three more, but there was just a lot of bad changes.
This is like, I think the king being the moon or whatever is like one of the cooler parts of the game.
Yeah.
And I feel like that has already been flubbed. So I don't know. I have low expectations of how this goes going forward.
We'll have to see how first archetype awakening looks like, because those are also very cool moments.
Those are cool. Those are cool.
And also Bat Dad. That's the best character in the game. So.
Oh, for sure.
So when if we get to where he shows up and he's done well, it's like, okay, maybe there's some redeeming things here.
Hey, give it two chapters. Maybe we'll get there.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm no kidding. We might be there in like by chapter four.
Yeah.
Cool. Anything else about Metaphor ReFantazio?
Not my thing. If you haven't played Metaphor and you read this, I'd be curious to hear your perspective, though, because we have both played this part of the game, so we kind of have something to compare it to, which skews our opinion. I'm curious as to what this like reads like to someone who hasn't like consumed these plot beats.
Yeah. I would also say that the demo is just the start of the game all the way through the first dungeon. I think it legitimately took me 9 hours to get through the demo of this game. So if you're interested, it's free. Go play the demo and you'll see a better presentation of all this stuff.
True.
Cool. Let's talk about our next thing. A little bit more positive note, something you both kind of liked. This is Siren Won't Sing For You by Reiji Agasa. This is chapter 2, came out this week.
Okay, so I didn't actually get to read chapter 2, so you're going to have to fill me in and tell me what you think. But I read chapter 1.
I'll fill you in, yeah. I mean, chapter 1 I thought was okay. I thought it was pretty good. Not the best thing I've ever read, but certainly an interesting idea. What did you think about chapter 1?
It was fun. I had a good time with it. I appreciate that, like, the twist was, like, they covered up the main character's hand while he was fighting, and it turned out he just had a Glock the whole time,
yes.
And he shoots dudes with his gun.
Yeah, the basic premise of this is our main character here is a siren and wants to eat people, and something about the more she loves them, the more she wants to eat them is a thing, and then the boy she falls in love with is a demi-human policeman, basically. I can't remember what they call him exactly, but
like he's a human that arrests demi-humans.
Yeah, he's like
he's a human guy though.
Yeah, he's a human, but I thought chapter 2 was way better, so you'll have to go and check it out.
Nice.
I thought it was a lot kind of goofier, a lot more sweeter. Yeah, Takanashi is the main character, and the other guy's name is Shibuya, I think. So, I thought this was funny, where it's like, oh yeah, we traded contact info, and it's like as soon as she gets a text, she's like rushing around the corner, like being really fast.
Do people trade contact info with QR codes?
That you do that with Line in Japan, I think. I've seen this in anime before. So
that is like that's next level. I love that.
Yeah, you just open up. Like Line, and it's like, here's your code, and you scan it, and their contact info is added. So, but yeah, they like, there's a lot of this cute stuff during the date where it's like, hey, I didn't keep you waiting, did I? It's like, she was actually waiting for 2 hours. And they go through this kind of very, it's like a very cutesy date with a lot of fun internal monologue of like, the guy's really happy. The girl's sort of like, you know, overjoyed to be dating this guy that she likes. I cut out kind of most of the date. There's quite a bit of this chapter that's this date. But there's also kind of trying to figure out, like, oh, does he really like me? What's the... They end up kind of planning at the very end of the date. They're like, hey, like, why don't we go on another date? He's like, let's do it. And then a bad girl shows up. There's this kind of this... Another demi-human, basically. Demi-human sheriff. That's what they're called, a sheriff. She has, like, this mouth on the back of her head. And she kind of describes, like... Yeah, he's like, oh, you're the two-mouth woman, like the demi-human with two mouths, the ability to weaponize her hair. She has the tendency to hold the man she loves captive. He's like, what are you doing here? And it kind of goes to this flashback, not like minor flashback, where it's like, oh, you like robbed me of the man I loved, blah, blah, blah. He's like, you know, he's like, ever since that day, I swear I'd get my revenge. But then it's funnily revealed. It's like, he also does just pull the Glock in chapter two, which is funny.
He's still strapped.
Yeah, he's just always strapped. And she, with this funny revelation, she's just like, she's like, the demi-human, the new one, is like, I want you to date me. And she's like, he's like, I've been here to get my revenge, but she's like, you're really good looking, so I have a crush on you now. So that's kind of a funny, little reveal like that. But yeah, and they kind of end up, I thought I added another picture in here, but I must have missed it. There's a reveal at the very end of the... Oh, wait, no, I just totally, like, missed adding pictures. Hold on. We got this. Da-da-da. Where's copy? Oh, okay. This is C. Okay. Rename C2. We will be there. Here we go. Okay, sorry, I messed up the pictures there. But yeah, the... Siren Girl then is like, oh, that, like, this girl only thinks his face is attractive. I love everything about him. He's so great. It's just like a bunch of cute stuff. And she's basically like, there's no way I let you have him, which is very cute. And then she does this weird, like, whistle thing, which, like, stuns, like, again, like a pretty good spread for a romance manga, like, you know, a little bit of action in a romance manga. And then he this is my favorite thing. It's just, he just, like, whaps her on the back of the head and she's done, and it's like, it's over. Like, he, like, hits her on the back of the head, she falls out, she's like, did you kill her?
It's like an open palm slap on the back of the head too. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, I don't know why I can't zoom in here, but whatever. So basically the male MC is like, my job is too dangerous, I'm gonna be targeted, I'm a sheriff, so it's too dangerous. And the girl's like, no, it's okay, I don't mind if it's dangerous. It's like, it's kind of a relief that you're a demi-human. You're stronger than the average person. So basically it ends up with, like, what if I become a demi-human sheriff? That would solve all our problems, right? She's like, I'm right, aren't I? So it basically kind of ends with, like, oh, I'll join this task force also, which is not where I was expecting this to go in chapter one, to be honest, but is an interesting angle. So
she kind of seems better at this than him.
So yeah, I wonder.
Seems like a good play.
Yeah, well, and I think their dynamic is really cute. And I'm interested to see more kind of these funny. A demi-human shows up, the guy pulls his Glock, it gets resolved by a single slap, and it isn't really about that. So I don't know. I really like this.
I like how kind of, like, uninvested it is in itself. In that it's like, okay, we're done with you as a character. I'm gonna slap you on the head, and you're off screen now. It's just like, this plot beat's over. It seems fun.
Yeah, it's great. I really enjoyed this. I think this is a good one to pick up. This is on Manga Plus for us in the West. I'm interested in this. I'm going to pay attention to it because I think it's comfy. I think it's cute. I thought chapter two was better than chapter one, which I think is often not the case, even with stuff that I don't like. Usually I read chapter two and I'm like, well, still bad or not as good. So
I like that it shows the dude's personality more, because in chapter one, you kind of got, like, minimal levels of mm-hmm. gun guy.
Yeah, he's a little, he definitely has a personality, I will say. He's not a total blank slate, but he's interesting. The girl's cute. I think it is an interesting thing that she wants to eat him, and I don't know how that's going to end up. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of fun, cool twists on this kind of simple romance story.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Let's talk about the last thing on our list then, which I think is maybe the best thing I read last week, is Ichi the Witch, chapter 18. Did you get to read this one, Gautam?
Yeah, cool. I appreciated that we get to actually see Descaris in action.
Yes, this is something we have not really seen yet. And there's, I think that there's like 4 or 5 spread double pages in a row. I grabbed all of them because I was just like, I can't not bring all of these. They're all great.
She's the best character. It's like
she's great. Yeah,
I like how she like ejects Itchy from the fight. Already full of personality.
Yeah, you want to talk about a good fun personality on the page. She's like come in and cut up the bad guy and has Itchy in a protective bubble and is just like, all right, out of the way.
And she knees the bubble like a soccer ball.
Yeah, she just like bumps it out of the way. I love this. Her ego is maybe the best part about her. You don't usually when you get really egotistical characters in manga and anime, they're like, haha, I'm the best. And it's a bad guy. And you know that they're about to be beaten by the main character. Right. Like that's like an egotistical character that you see. I saw this comparison on Twitter when I was browsing it on my manga stuff. And people were comparing Descaros to Gojo, where it's like she's the main character, she's on the good side, she's the most powerful, and she's got an ego, and she's the best, and she knows it. Because she's just like, because again, like this on the second page, is like, you must be rather skilled. She's like, just skilled? He's like, nah, it's like, I'm the world's greatest, most powerful witch. Nice to meet you. Like, which is awesome.
I like Descaros more off the bat than Gojo, because I think two reasons. Yeah. One is she's like incredibly like trying to recapture her youth, and she's insecure about that.
Yeah.
And two, she has like a permanently sad expression on her face, despite the thing she says being like contrary. She has like the eyebrows raised up and the sad eyes. So she looks like she's like a sad sack character, but she's the polar opposite of that.
It's disarming in a different kind of way where it's like she's the strongest, but she isn't like, you're right. She's not like eyebrows down, hyper serious, like cool mode. Yeah. She's very like, she looks kind of different, which is cool.
Yeah.
I also like that. Like anytime someone is like, oh, you don't seem that cool. She's like, well, excuse you. She's very, she's egotistical in the way that like normal people are egotistical, not in the way that an anime bad guy is egotistical, where it's like mustache twirly. It's like, yeah, I have a great fashion like sense.
From insecurity, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Where it's like, if you try to tell someone who's, you know, really egotistical that they, you know, don't have a good sense of style, they're going to be like, excuse you. Of course I do. And like fight back against it. It's like exactly what Descaros is like. Then we get into all these spread pages, which are just absolutely sick. The bad guy here, whose name I forget,
magic
something. Yeah. So yeah, he's just like summons a portal. Is like try then to stave off your imminent death, witch, and she summons like a persona essentially to keep it thematically relevant.
Yeah,
she just like again, she has this kind of like sad, you know, she's like hyper serious doing a big attack, and she has kind of sad expression, but she summons like a
confetti monster.
Yeah, some kind of frills. It's like, it looks something. Awesome. It looks cool. Yeah, I mean the art here is great. Yeah, and she like, you know, tells it to attack, like shoot him down, Iskandar. Which is cool, and all the stars go off. Yeah, and Iskandar is this is what the Japanese call
Alexander the Great.
Alexander the Great, right? It's like Alexandar Iskandar. It's they change it. But yeah,
I only know that Iskandar was like Fate Zero.
Yeah,
Alexander
that's
the Great.
Basically, how I know it too. Yeah,
Iskandar looks awesome in this. I also loved like last chapter where we got like the big skeletons that this guy summoned, and like they walk, like every time they walked, they like left a miasma of death behind them. Those sick aesthetics.
Yeah, well, and just the design of them in general are great. I mean, this is like, this is like the best art in Weekly Shonen Jump now, maybe.
Yeah,
since My Hero's over, I think it might be.
It went from Saturday morning cartoon to like a quick stint in Evangelion Town, you know?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. I definitely get the sort of like, they're basically, I mean, this is basically like mech fights, right? Like he's got his four mechs. She's got she summoned her mech. Very cool. But she wipes him out here. I also like, again, that's like, oh, she doesn't just wipe him out. She's like immediately on top of him is like, ha, are you deaf? And she uses this cool magic, which is called, I don't remember, I'd get the name of it, but this magic is supposed to just like make you always speak the truth. And she's like, hey, tell me what your trial is so that I can beat it. And he's like, my trial. And then ends up like fighting back against it. There's also, again, just like a great moment on the last pages here where the death magic guy is like, oh, how many magics do you have? And she's like, I don't know, lost count. He's like, oh, were some of them your friends? It's like, so, it's so good. He's like, whoopsie, I'm sorry.
I love what a shitter she's being about.
She's so good. Yeah,
she's the best. This is her grudge Gojo moment. I thought maybe in the chapter before this that like the ice witch was kind of talking about how she was sloppy and stuff. I was like, is she just the self-proclaimed best at this? But I think she's probably actually the best at this.
Yeah, no, I think I had the same wonder where it's like, oh, is she the kind of like, what would you say? Where she's like trips into like defeating people all the time, but she's like, has she like lucked into being the best? But it's like, nope, she's just the best. She's cool. Yeah. She's badass.
I like that those doubts existed because she was just like, for the first like 15 chapters, you never really see her do anything aside from be a goblin.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's cool to see her kind of slap this dude around a little.
Yeah, for sure. And it's cool, you know, she's got her little mech and her cool sword and her other little guy here. So, yeah,
I didn't even notice the little guy.
Yeah, little guy.
Yeah.
And then at the end, you know, we see Itchy is healing up in the bubble. So I think this is like a healing bubble that she put him in because his face was like messed up from I don't even remember what happened to him the week before, but
necrosis.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever death magicka he put on his face. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is cool. I mean, I have enjoyed Itchy the Witch for the past, you know, 2.5 months, 3 months, whatever it's been. Maybe almost 4 months now. But it hasn't really been like, it hasn't blown me away with anything where like, yes, this is the next big thing and I'm fully on board. I think this chapter did it for me. In this chapter, I was like, okay, if this is what we're going to get more of, I'm down. Like, I want more of this and not necessarily, I want the goofy stuff in between, but I want more of like four double page spreads in a row that are all sick, like insane stuff. Like, I do think since Horikoshi is not a Jump anymore, this might be the best art in Jump. Like, I can't, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's really solid. I felt the same way. I think it was a bit too Saturday morning cartoon for me. Yeah. It's good Saturday morning cartoon. I think I'm just like not the target demo for. I didn't feel like the target demo till like, I don't know, this stuff. This stuff is very.
Yeah, the last
cool.
Like two or three chapters, I would say, are like, yeah. Okay, we're into it. This is clearly a big bad or the big bad, and we're gonna get, you know, something's gonna kick off here, greater plot. So yeah.
I appreciate the monster, like cool monster designs any day too.
Yeah, I mean, oh yeah, all the art, all the design is sick. Like, yeah, her Evangelion looks fucking cool. It has like it has like a patterned, like, I don't know, what you like, fishnet hands. Yeah. I don't know. It's very cool.
It's very strange.
And it's even cool here because it's like you don't see Deathcross up close, but on the right side here, it's like you can see how like detailed her collar is and her clothes and stuff. So yeah, it's very cool. It's very good. I like this. I like Itchy a lot. I think it's definitely the best thing from last year. And I think there's like a huge gap between all the new stuff and Weekly Shonen Jump, Itchy the Witch. And then I don't even know what the second best thing would be last year, but this is the best.
Yeah. Solid chapter.
Cool. Anything else on Itchy the Witch then?
Nope.
Awesome. Looking forward to more of that. All right. Let's talk about some news. There's been a lot of news this past 2 weeks or so. First thing we got the 18th Manga Taisho nominees, which I will put on screen now. Passwords of this, you might remember, is stuff like Darwin Incident. I think that was 3 or 4 years ago. Frieren won that. Beastars, Golden Kamuy. So they've picked some real winners here. These are the nominees. The only things that I recognize on here are I recognize Cosmos. That's been getting a lot of chatter recently. And Girl Meets Rock, which I read maybe 3 chapters of and I didn't like very much, but everyone else seems to love it. So maybe it picked up. Gautam, do you recognize anything else on screen here or anything no. catch your eye?
I actually haven't. I think like it, rarely. I actually haven't read anything on this list. I don't think
I haven't either. Other than Girl Meets Rock, and I haven't read all of that. I've only a couple of stuff. So,
huh? Okay.
But yeah, this is.
So I guess as we have some reading material for us.
Yeah, this is always, I think, a good list to look at for like recommendations of like, oh, these are like things you should be reading that are actually really good. Because like I mentioned, they usually pick a pretty good winner there. So lots the next, like, I don't know, 5 news things I have are all about stuff ending. So get ready. First of all, Undead Unluck is ending this Sunday with chapter 239. That'll be the 25th, I guess, of January, 26th. So Undead Luck ending, no name, which is a we went over the first chapter of that not too long ago, maybe 4 or 5 months ago, by the Witcher writer Rafael Jacqui. That's ending next week with chapter 14. That one got canceled, which, as interesting as that and different as that was, I'm not really surprised at, unfortunately. I thought that it was just a little too kind of slow and methodical to be something that really, it didn't really grab me in the first chapter, and you kind of have to. So
I hear it got better. I think it, like, the initial first few chapters maybe didn't work well for the format of manga.
Yeah.
But I actually, I don't know. I'll have to think about what went wrong. Like, in my eyes, what went wrong there.
Yeah, and maybe I'll go and read it. Maybe it is way better. Maybe it should have been preserved. I don't know.
I'm curious. I think I'll catch up on it, too.
Yeah. Mission Yozakura Family ended last week with chapter 258. So...
Ooh. Okay.
This is going to be a little wild. So after that, do you think you can name for me, other than One Piece, what are the longest running manga in Weekly Shonen Jump now?
All right, let me think about that. That's actually trickier than I thought.
It's tricky because it's actually stuff that's from the last
Sakamoto Days, Akane.
Sakamoto Days, maybe. I think, is number 3. So I'm not counting Hunter x Hunter. That doesn't count. And Roboco is technically the second longest running series in Weekly Shonen Jump right now.
Oh, that's wild. I was there for the chapter 1.
Yeah, I mean, me too.
I guess I was there for Hero Academia. I was there for all the chapters.
Yeah.
It feels like not that long ago is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. After Me and Roboco, it's Burn the Witch, which also doesn't count in my opinion, and then Sakamoto Days. So in my opinion, it's One Piece has been running for almost 30 years, and then Me and Roboco about 5 years, Sakamoto Days 4 and change. So yeah, very recent things. Jump is a very new magazine right now, which makes it feel, I think, a little bit different than in the past. So
I think they are hoping for another epic of some kind, because One Piece will have to be replaced eventually.
Well, I don't think they need to worry about replacing One Piece just yet, but they are definitely, they're looking for another big hit, because they lost Demon Slayer. Jujutsu Kaisen is getting more anime, but is not getting more chapters. My Hero Academia ended. They want Sakamoto Days to be big. I don't know if the anime looks like it's doing as well as it should be. That's a very difficult manga to adapt, in my opinion. So we've talked about that in the past.
They didn't break the bank for it, so...
Which you kind of had to.
You had to. So that's on them.
Yeah. I think Blue Box is doing okay. I think Akane is going to be a smash hit. I don't know when they'll adapt that. Maybe next year, maybe late this year. I think people really like that one, but yeah, I don't know. They definitely are trying to, you know, they need something. So which is why I think I'm really curious about what new stuff comes out this year in Jump, because this last year, like I said, there's a couple of things that I think will stick around, but really Itchy the Witch was the only thing that I thought was really outstanding. I don't think anything else is worth much. You know, maybe Nue's Exorcist is the thing that'll get them a lot of sales, even though it's bad. But they don't really have, in my opinion, the next sort of big shonen action thing running right now. Like, not really. So I'm really interested in what they find this year.
I'm not sure either. I think there is like a gap. I especially hate to say it. There's a gap in the whatever market Jujutsu Kaisen, the Exorcist market, despite sword manga being in there, like there's a Demon Slayer audience and a JJK audience. Those were their last two huge things, right?
Mm-hmm. And My Hero, which ended, but yeah,
and My Hero,
and I think that those audiences overlap a lot. And what's in the magazine now that appeals to that group? It's like maybe Nue's Exorcist. I don't know what else. Like,
The sword one. I'm forgetting its name.
Kagurabachi. Yeah.
Kagurabachi.
I forgot about that, which is, yeah, I think Kagurabachi might be it too. So we'll see. Yeah. I think it probably is Kagurabachi now that you say that. I totally forgot about it because it can be forgettable at times.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's good. It's just not, it's fine.
I don't know why they didn't break the bank for Sakamoto Days, because like volume sales were incredible. Great. Prior to the anime. And if this is one of your longest running series, this is one you want to kind of bet big on, if anything.
Yeah.
And they didn't. And it shows.
Sakamoto Days does have another problem that is kind of hard to talk about because we've been in it for so long. But like the first two volumes or so, the first, you know, 12 to 14 chapters of Sakamoto Days are like probably the worst chapters of the whole series, if we're being honest. Like, the start of Sakamoto Days is a little slow, not that great.
You bring that up, but I don't think I've ever agreed with that. I liked them. I liked it from the get-go. I think maybe the only part I didn't like was what's the girl in the Chinese dress's name?
She doesn't matter because she gets like sidelined immediately. And she has been for 200 chapters. So
yeah, the only reason I don't like that is because the author didn't want to use her as a character anymore. So it's like now it feels irrelevant, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But I liked it from the start, man. I thought the beginning was fun.
So you liked it, but would you say that it's gotten better? Do you think that those early chapters are still the worst chapters, even if they were good?
Yeah, but I think framing it as the worst implies that it's bad.
Yeah.
And I thought it was great, you know. But I just think Sakamoto Days is amazing now.
I guess I will rephrase it as Sakamoto Days has only gotten better, so its first season is maybe not the most appealing, but if you stick through the first season, we'll see.
Yeah. I agree with that totally.
I think the time where it really kicks in is the hard boiled fight with Sakamoto, which is in season one because we have voice actor casting for that. So we'll see how they do that fight and if they can pull that one off and it gets clipped and shared around, maybe it'll be big. But yeah, we'll see.
So, Sakamoto is like the one series that I enjoy like a ton week to week, but I only vaguely know what's going on.
It's not super plot heavy. There's kind of only really one plot thing ever going on at any time, which is fine because it's not really about that. But yeah,
it's kind of funny in that way. In that, like, it's like there's like a bunch of different assassination groups and a bunch of different people, and I'm like, I know who the good guys are and the bad guys are, and I watch them fight in creative ways. It's mostly what I get out of it.
And I know that when we get to the next time, a new bad guy will be introduced and he'll be cool and have a cool fight and it will be over. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But okay, that's it for sort of stuff ending and getting over it. We got some news on anime. The Gachiyakuta anime team at Studio Bones is the same team who did Noragami, which is very cool. I think that's a skilled team. That includes kind of like producers and stuff, so you can go look that out. We got more One Piece live action casting news. You go look it up. We got a casting for Dragon, who's going to be in exactly one scene in season two, I believe, if it follows the manga.
He's just going to stare into the distance like he usually does.
I think that's all he does he's in Loguetown, right? Where you see him once and he like says like, I don't remember what he said. He has like, literally he appears in Loguetown and then doesn't appear for another 250 chapters, which
that's like the one action he has like physically taken in the series is the Loguetown thing. And then afterwards, he usually just like pensively stares off into the
He like smiles at the end of a chapter and then moves on. He does that for like literally 1,000 chapters. Cool. I like Dragon. He's cool. So we're getting a new series from Paro Itagaki. It started this week. The ghost cheating thing, I think, is short-lived or is over, maybe. Maybe it was just a little mini-series. Anyways, her new... Tell me... I'm going to describe this to you, and you're going to nod your head and go, yep, that's Paro Itagaki. This series is called Taika's Reason. It is a crime thriller set in a world where pets are turned into animal people to fight the declining birth rates, even though interspecies tensions rise. We're not done yet. A teenage girl lives a quiet life with her parents and her pit bull until one fateful day where the dog snaps and kills her dad. To save the dog's life, the shock teen keeps the killing a secret and disposes of the body of her beloved father. Sometime later, her pit bull is turned into a dog man. Now living with the disturbed girl and her mom as a fully fledged family member, seemingly unaware of what happened before, but everything changes when the girl hears the dog man utter chilling words to her, "Hey, let's turn ourselves in." And I just think that's the most Paro Itagaki shit I've ever read in my entire life.
Wait, what? That is like, wait, so they turn pets into people?
Into beastmen. Declining birth rates. It does say that in there. Yes, you did hear that right.
They're fucking the dogs and stuff.
If I know Paro Itagaki, Gautam, they are absolutely fucking the dogs in this story.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, like, that would make sense to me. Okay, got it. And why this, the pit bull, first of all, I feel like it's like a little bit prejudiced to make it a pit bull, but why
as a dog owner, it's not.
Yeah, that's fair. I won't get into it. It's I don't know anything about pit bulls.
I know a lot about them, and it's, yeah, I will also not get into it because I would consider myself prejudiced against pit bulls. So
you have a pit bull policy. Okay, fine.
So, yeah. My dog has been attacked 7 times. 6 of those were pit bulls. So if that tells you.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. And you know what? Maybe it's the same pit bull that murders dads out here or whatever. True. But why did the dog want to collectively turn themselves in when the dog was the one accessory to murder?
Well, you're an accessory to murder if you dispose of a body for someone who kills someone else.
Maybe I didn't hear that. So she the girl helped the dog hide the body.
So the dog is a dog, kills the dad. The girl is like, I love this dog. I don't want it to be disposed of. Hides the dad's body, covers up the quote unquote murder, right? The dog killing it, whatever you want to call it. Then the dog gets turned into a dog man. Then the dog's like, hey, we should turn ourselves in. So, yeah, I don't know. So, I'm excited to read it.
If you had a, okay, let me give you a hypothetical then. If you had a dog brain, say you were a dog, even, yeah, and you killed someone, but you had like this dumb peanut dog brain, and then someone humanified you with a beam, and you have like human intelligence now, would you like, would you be guilty for that murder? Because you didn't know what you were doing. You were like a dumb animal.
These are the questions I expect Barbie Tagaki to go very in depth on in this series. Like, I know you think I'm kidding, but no, I think this is what the story will be about.
Is the dog culpable?
Like, it says accepted as a family member, so I don't know what that means.
Like, the dog sounds like he took the dad's spot, given the plot.
Maybe. I don't know how much we'll need to read this chapter and talk about it next week. I think it probably should maybe be translated by then. So
I'm already interested, clearly, because I just want to know more.
Yeah. Well, and I'm curious if her other if the ghost fucking manga that she's doing is over or if it's going to keep going or not, because that's got 6 or 7 chapters out now that I was reading that are interesting.
I don't know how long you can go with that. It's just the plot of Ghost, right?
Yeah,
you either fuck the ghost or you don't.
The morality of every single person in that story is suspect, in my opinion. It's like the ghost guy does some suspect stuff. I don't know how many chapters you read. He fucking possessed the husband at some point and tried to pretend to be the husband to fuck the girl. And then the girl is suspect for her cheating. The guy is suspect for being a terrible husband. It's an interesting story.
I guess that's what makes it interesting.
Yeah.
But that one's not for me. I am more interested in this dog fucking manga, though.
Yes.
Because, like, they did a murder.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, like I said, when we get it, I'll read it and we'll see how it is. Because I also am curious. I think Barbie Tagaki is a great writer and an interesting, has more interesting ideas than a lot of people. So,
yeah. Yeah, let's cover that. Chapter 1.
Cool, let's do it. This is the other one that I forgot about. Komi Can't Communicate is ending in, at this point, I think one more chapter. I think we had the most recent chapters came out either today or yesterday. So Komi is almost over, and thank God that is ending with a whimper, because that was what flavor happened? Of the week 5 or 6 years ago and is no longer, has not been good for years, in my opinion.
It just went too long. Should have ended a while ago.
It's going to be almost, it's like 498 chapters is what's going to end at or something insane. Like way too many. And some of those are like 3 pages long, but I don't know.
I don't think that we should have seen her get 100 friends because I don't need that many side characters.
No, but they certainly did most of them. So yeah, we'll see maybe if they come back with another thing or what happens there. Drunk Bullet ended last week. I will never forgive the Japanese.
Ooh, yeah, I love Drunk Bullet.
Yep. Beaten Motion is ending on January 25th. That's one that a lot of people talk about that, again, I read the first kind of 2 or 3 chapters and didn't think it was that great, didn't think the execution was too good, but I saw a lot of people being really really interested in it and keeping reading it, so that's another one that's ending. And then Galaxius is getting transferred over to Manga Poke, which is, I think, an online publication from Weekly Shonen Magazine. Which is really unfortunate. It has had a lot of publication issues, a lot of breaks from the author, which really sucks because I think this was one of, if not the best new thing last year was Galaxius, and publication issues can absolutely ruin you early on. Like, you really have to get through a solid year or a year of publication before you can take a break or be an instant big hit. And I don't think it was quite an instant big hit, like something like Ruri Dragon, right? Where it's like, oh yeah, volume 1 launched and it sold 1 million copies. And yeah, you can take a break after 15 chapters or whatever.
It was on K-Manga. It was Sabotage from the beginning.
Well, in the West, yes, it's on K-Manga. But in Japan, the Japanese Weekly Shonen Jump reader might, or Weekly Shonen Magazine reader might be a little bit different. So I'm not sure about that, but we'll see. I hope it survives. I think it's a really good series.
It's awesome. It's like super good. So I hope so too.
Yeah. And I was worried about with the breaks, is the writing or the art going to take a dive? And it's been consistently good, all of it that I've read. So yeah, I really hope that it survives and keeps going.
Man, I guess dragon based manga are just cursed.
Pretend, yeah. That's, yeah.
Curse to hiatus or something. I don't know.
That's true. There's a dragon in Berserk, so also that.
Yeah, that's the reason.
What else we got? More news. Itchy the Witch is getting reprints for Volume 1. That's very good. I think its sales are going to be very, very good. I think that's it's going to be a big hit. Last thing on the news is the Dandadan mangaka is taking a one-month break. My guess is this is to go consult on Season 2. This is about the same time he took a one-month break last year, around 4 to 6 months before the premiere of Season 1. So I think that everyone's like, oh no, 1 month break, like Tatsuyuki Nobu, he's like, what's happening? And it's because he's never taken breaks before. And it's like, this lines up almost exactly with he's going to consult on Season 2, which probably means he needs to travel from, where he lives to where the anime studio is for a while. So I don't think there's anything to be worried about here. I think Tatsuyuki Nobu is I think I saw someone call him a generational talent, which I would agree with in the modern time. So I think we're fine. I hope nothing's wrong with him, but I would assume that there is not. So,
well, even if he just needs a 1 month break, I think that's good. Take it.
Yeah, like I said, he has not taken many breaks, and yeah, the recent arc has been really good. So I'm excited for that. That's it for news, I think. So let's go to one more thing. It's an air fryer. This is what I've been doing. I've been air frying everything. I am the most vehemently anti-air fryer person I know, because it is not an air fryer. It is a convection oven. But you know what? These things are freaking convenient and cool and awesome. And I'm using it for everything now. And it is very good to make. This thing makes toast in 2 minutes, dude. Like, you put bread in there and on the high, and it's perfect crispy brown toast, 2 minutes. I can put chicken nuggets in there. This is a weird thing. I have history as I was a professional chef. I cook for myself basically every single meal, unless I'm going out with friends or something. So I do a lot of cooking for myself, and I have rediscovered chicken nuggets. And it's I just need to load a lot of protein and work out more. And chicken nuggets are a great way to do that. And this thing makes excellent chicken nuggets. So I'm back into it.
Yeah, dude. And chicken nuggets are great. They just taste whatever flavor hot sauce you dip them into.
Basically, yeah, I use mayo and make some kind of dipping sauce or ranch or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm all in on this. I made a full roast side of pork that I'm gonna soak in some soy sauce and stuff to try to make like chashu pork for ramen and stuff. So we're gonna see how that goes. But it's good and cool and great and fast. And I like it a lot. I cannot stress to you how much, if you are cooking for one person and you live in an apartment, never use your full oven. It's so bad. It does not have a fan. Buy one of these. Mine is $100, not that expensive. And it's amazing. And you can clean it. I could fit a whole chicken in there, because I think I have the eight cup one or something. So yeah, I'm pretty blown away by how good it is.
I feel the same way. When I switched to my toaster oven, mm-hmm. Air fryer combo, it's I use it for everything pretty much.
I've definitely been more I can actually have an oven. What can I do in the oven that I couldn't before? But yeah, so
yeah, true.
I'm doing that. Gautam, tell me what's going on with you.
You can tell that we had nothing good to talk about for our one more things, because all I have to say is it snowed in Austin, and it it's a ghost town out here. Texas is incapable of handling snow or ice in any fashion. My internet goes out, my power flickers, and it's barely any snow, and the roads are empty. My boss texts us, is don't come into work. I don't know, it's just really funny seeing how bad Texas is at dealing with any kind of cold weather.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, people always bring this up. I always say, we don't have any of the infrastructure to take care of the roads when it does happen. We don't have, it's usually not so cold that we get, a fresh layer of powder. It's usually, immediately melted and turned to ice overnight. So it's, extra dangerous. And also, I don't know about you, but, I do not possess cold weather clothes that can stand up to like being outside in the snow. Like, I just don't own clothes like that. So yeah, I'm not going to go outside in the snow.
I do. It's just, it's, but as a Texan, you really don't need to, you know, like most Texans don't, because when are they going to see snow aside from these freak incidents?
I mean, it's been like in the 30s at night or like high 20s. And I know that last year we got about 2 weeks of weather like that. And then it was back into sort of like, you know, mid 50s, high 40s sometimes. And that's exactly like, by the time this episode goes out, it will be 59 degrees in Texas. So it's fine. Like, it's so short lived that, but yeah, it's exciting if you're school canceled or something.
Yeah, true. That's always like a big win, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Anything else you want to talk about, Gautam? Are we good to get out of here?
We're good to get out of here.
Cool. Let's do it. Hey, thanks again, everyone, for listening or watching. Don't forget, leave us your feedback, the comments, upvote, thumbs up, all that jazz. Check out Twitter and Patreon, which are linked in the description. And thank you for being with us yet again this week.
Goodbye.
And don't forget to read more manga.